Blog Talk Radio.
General Quarters, Security Condition 3.
GQ, Security 3, sir. General Quarters 3, intruder alert. GQ 3, intruder alert.
No, it's not intruder. It's my guest. Okay. Good evening and welcome once again to Madam Perry Salon. I'm your host, Cruise Director Madam Perry, also known as Jennifer Perry, and I am delighted to have you here. If this is your first time here, you see the little you're listening live tonight, which is October the 5th, then please click the follow button so you can follow all of our shows, because I am dedicated to bringing you the most fantastic people. In fact, I've had a few folks lately, actually my best friend Kenya, which you know, everyone here knows she's the Gail to my Oprah or vice versa. Kenya has a show on Fridays called Everything Relationships, and her sweetheart says, "How does Jennifer know so many people? She knows everybody." I don't know. I'm just very, very blessed and fortunate with the people I meet, and I bring them all here to share with you. Just like tonight. Tonight's guest, and you know, Mr. Sulu, he gets so excited about the doorman, but it's not an intruder, as you know. Tonight's guest is a talented, intelligent, beautiful force of nature, is what I call her. Her story is like a sensational film from Hollywood, beginning with the unusual situation of being Korean and growing up in Russia. Okay, then the movie would start off with I'm just going to let her tell you about it because she does it much better than I do. But this is a fantastic story. Welcome, Svetlana Kim. Welcome, Madam Perry.
Thank you so much, Madam Perry. I'm calling you Madam Perry. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And welcome. Yeah? Yes.
Oh, I was going to say, will you sit down? I forgot to tell you. I don't know if I told you ahead of time, but the guests say that Madam Perry Salon looks like the inside of Jeannie's bottle on I Dream of Jeannie. So that's why it's a little dense. That's why there's so many big cushions in here. So just find you the cushion that feels the best and just make yourself comfy.
Oh, it sounds great. But I just wanted to welcome everyone because it's 7 p.m. Your time, and I know people had it's a long day, and probably people are driving. And I just wanted to welcome everyone and to thank you personally for invitation. And I'm truly delighted and blessed and honored to be your guest.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, I am honored and excited. And I think the first thing about you that came to my attention was your book. You have two published books and one that's, I think, on the way, if I'm not mistaken. But your first book, memoir, is called White Pearl and I, and it's a memoir of a political refugee being you. And that is your first book. Am I correct?
Yes.
All right. So tell me, who is White Pearl and what is the book about?
Well, White Pearl is my beloved grandmother who transitioned 5 years ago on September 11th. September 11th, I was born on January 11th. And the earth shifted. We are in, for next 2,000 years, we are in the Aquarian Age, which will last for 2,000 years. And it started, it began on November 11, 2011, 11-11-11-11, when I help people who feel that they lost the sense of directions, they've been overwhelmed, they see that you know, the work or the position they have. There is no future, no promotion. I do numerology for them because I've been in their spot, and it's a very interesting story. I was a stockbroker at Payne Weber at 100 California Street in San Francisco, one of the largest offices, and I was the sixth female who was hired among 60 stockbrokers. People look at me and they said, she doesn't belong here. She has no skills, no experience, and I didn't even have a car. How am I going to manage millions of dollars of portfolio of millionaires? I didn't know. They didn't know. No one knew. Long story short, I was so determined, and I had a mentor, Don Kolb, who transitioned years ago, and Don didn't know about me. I had no office. I had cubicle. I started as a junior stockbroker, and one day I had a very rough day, and he knocked on the shoulder, and he had a cubicle. He was very successful option stockbroker, and Don said to me, would you like a cup of coffee? I'll treat you. So we went across Starbucks. It's still there, and he bought me a baby-sized 50 cents cup. They don't sell anymore. A little cup of coffee. And I just drink in one gulp. And he said to me, you need to slow down and do not let anyone to affect your energy. He said, you're going to do so well. And I see you, Lana, in the White House. I look at him and I said, listen,
what?
I didn't even sold any accounts. Didn't close any accounts today, didn't sign up any people, but I make 500 phone calls, and you're telling me that I have to be in the White House? I said, get me another cup of coffee. So long story short, he became my advisor, and when I told him the story, he said, tell me the most fabulous story about yourself, and tell me the worst story that you embarrassed, that you would not even tell your parents. And I told him that I was stinky, I was nearly homeless, I had less than a dollar in my pocket, I lied to the bus driver, and I would ride for 25 cents, or days when I was just walking across San Francisco looking for a job, or I was making $5 a day, and the best months I could make $40 a month, doing all kind of jobs. He looked at me and he said, whenever you're doing now, it's temporary, but he said, you're going to write, and you're going to write the book. And he started giving me all these motivational books. He introduced me to Dr. Wayne Dyer, to Brian Tracy, and I said, I don't like to read self-help. Do you think I need self-help? I like novels. I like to read Dostoevsky. I like to read Fitzgerald. I said, I like to read serious books. I don't like to read this self-help books. So one day I was miserable and crying, and he said to me, take a break and go to the bookstore. I went to the bookstore, and the first book I walked in, I saw red cover, and was The Purpose of Your Life by Carol Adrian. This is the book about numerology. I start reading, and my manager said, no reading aloud. You must be kidding. I thought you're a professional. Put the book away and start calling. I couldn't put the book away, I told him. He comes back, and I'm still reading. And that's it. So we've never had a really good relationship. I called Carol, and I said, Carol, can I make a schedule with you? I need a couple of sessions. When she did numerology, she started laughing at me. I'm telling her all the story. She's like, have you ever thought, Svetlana, of writing a book? I started laughing. I said, Carol, you must be kidding. I just spent money, time, effort, energy to get all the certification to be a stockbroker. And now you're telling me to change my career and change my life. And she said, I'm not telling you anything. It's numerology. It's based on a thousand years. It's actually discovered by Pythagoras in Greece, in ancient Greece. And she said, you're moving. I said, oh, no, I'm not moving. I said, my husband and I lived in San Francisco for 15 years. I'm not moving anywhere. She said, I'm not saying anything. Numerology. So, yes, I wrote the book, and White Pearl is my grandmother. Her name is a Korean name, Bayok, which means White Pearl. And I became a political refugee. I decided to escape from Russia 3 months before the collapse of Soviet Union, and that was the only chance for me to escape. And I never traveled abroad. I had no money. I came with $1. I didn't speak a single word of English. I spoke German and Russian, and that's what the book is about. It's about, like Don said, right from embarrassing stories of destitute, being stinky because I didn't take showers for weeks, didn't eat for 3 days, did all kind of jobs to pursue the freedom and happiness and what I live today.
And it's an amazing story. You know, things that is just so hard for someone to imagine. You think, you read about something that's happened maybe some generations ago, but in your story, and too, the way you were able to escape. Now, and I've got to say another thing, too. You say you only spoke Russian and German, and so I'm sure there were people looking at you saying, you know, expecting you to, especially Asian people, expecting you to speak Korean.
Yes,
and talking
all,
to you.
Or Chinese, you... all different kind of languages. I wish I would be able to speak Asian languages. Yeah, it's very interesting, but I, you know, the one of the attribute, and I have little niece who is, her mother is my cousin, so she speaks Russian, but her father, my cousin's sister, is French, so they speak French, and Victoria was born in Norway, moved to Beijing, China when she was 16 months and went to kindergarten in Beijing, so she knows some simple Chinese, what she tells me. And, of course, you know, her mother, my cousin, wanted her child, her daughter, to speak Russian, but the daughter chose her own languages. So her primary language is French, and second one, she understands Russian and speaks some Russian, but she told her mother, my cousin, Mom, I absolutely love Chinese. So she is on Skype with her friends in China, in Beijing. And I look at this generation. She's only 5. Now they transferred to Houston. And she speaks English very well because when she came to visit me, she said, "Do you have croissant?" And I said, "Victoria, what is that?" "I'm hungry. Do you have croissant?" I said, "Is that croissant?" "No, it's not croissant. It's croissant." And... I look at this generation and the ability, because I think my survival ability is totally related to creativity. And people look at me and they said, "What? You must be crazy. What creativity has to do that you live in destitute? For a year you had no place to stay. I mean, there, at any given time you would be sleeping in a park on a bench." And I said, because the creativity, it gives you, when I had no money, I would get on a bus and ride all day on a bus to look at the city, and I feel comfortable and safe. And thanks God there were buses at night when I had no place to go. I would be on a bus riding and listening to people's conversations and getting myself comfortable in a foreign country, in a strange city. And I would use my imagination to survive. I would go back to my farm and to ride the horses and feel this freedom and smell chicken soup of my grandmother and hear her eruption of her laughters and the sounds of breaking dishes and the smell of kimchi and hot rice. And imagination survived. They helped me to survive and to stay sane.
Well, you used your imagination to get jobs. I mean, think about how many people, when you went to, like there's a part where you go to like Payne Weber, the people there say, "Have you ever sold?" Or no, I don't know if it was Payne Weber. There was an office where they said, you know, "Have you ever sold? Have you ever sold anything to people? Well, go learn how to sell." And you went to the cosmetic counter, and they said, well, do you know anything about selling or cosmetics? And you gave a story about selling in Russia. So tell me the story. Tell us the story that you told to the people at the Lancome counter, because I think that's fantastic.
It's a long story, but the people can read in my book. But
okay.
I grew up since I was 9 months old with my grandmother, White Pearl, who is a storyteller. And it's so natural to me as I take the breath in, the air. It's not only part of me, it's who I am. And I think to recognize that uniqueness, your uniqueness is the major things in life. And everyone who is listening, I want you just to listen, to relax, and to develop your senses, because the mind is logical, but to awaken your amazing gifts that God given to you, created you in a perfect way. Now, it's through senses, because our subconscious is not logical. Subconscious is something that you feel, you awaken. It's so energetic, it's so pure, it's so innocent, it's so infinite, it's invisible, it has no scent, no smell, you cannot touch it, but it's so powerful. It is you. You are the spark of that entire universe, this air in the room, that table, the chair you're sitting on, this energy, the telephone. We're all part of that. And I went to Macy's because I was riding the bus and my visa was just about to expire. Back then, we were allowed to come for 3 months with open date airline ticket, which means my airline ticket back to Russia was valid for 3 months. But the night it was expiring, I had to make the decision, the biggest decision of my life. And so far, that was the biggest decision so far. I've never made any bigger decision. And it was my first decision in my life. I was 23 years old, to either go back or to stay where I am. And I did not sleep all night. I cried. I woke up. I didn't sleep. I had to rest and close my eyes and get back to my senses, to the sixth sense, to intuition, to God, whenever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told, you stay, but you need to get a job to eat. So I took a bus, and I end up at very busy shopping area, all these beautiful stores. And I walked in. I didn't know Macy's. I couldn't read. I've been in the country only like 3 or 4 months. I walked in, and I saw one word that I can read, Lancome, because I couldn't afford Lancome cosmetics in Russia. And I went to the counter, and all I said, job. And there was executive, Susan, from headquarters. She looked at me, and she started asking me all this question that you said, Jennifer. You know, do you have sales experience? And I started telling her the story, how my grandmother became a very successful entrepreneur, running the farm and selling products on a farmer, at the farmer's market. And she said, fill out the application form, and I don't even know how to write my name. Well, that one I knew, but I never fill out any applications for. I never work. I was a student. And she said, I'll give you an opportunity, but she said one condition. It's only 13 hours a week, and you have a goal to reach every day. You have to sell this amount. And she writes down, because she knows that I'm not going to understand. She wrote it down, and she said, if you don't make this, you're not going to have no job, understand? And instead of saying no, 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 I start saying everything that she would say, yes, 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 I got the job. And 17 years later, I'm auditioning to be a spokesperson for Macy's national campaign. I was in 50 publications overnight, from MSNBC to Wall Street Journal, New York. I was speaking on behalf last year. I did another speaking event. I was interviewing Nigel Barker, who is a celebrity photographer, and NigelBarker.com, his website. He's really successful. He's New York Times bestseller. Just has an incredible, incredible story. Most of the people recognize, they call him Nigel. Nigel Barker, Nigel. He was actually born in UK, but his mother was first top model in Sri Lanka. So he said, Macy's make me Asian American. I never knew about that. You know, he has British accent, but most of the people know him that he's been one of the judge on America's Next Model that
Next Top Model.
He's one of the model, or not one of the models, even though he was a fashion model. He's one of the judge. He's not modeling anymore, but he works with amazing names. You just name it. Yeah. So I interview Nigel. I'm kidding. I said I'm interviewing Nigel. but yeah. So you know, it's like you never know. And I think one of the mistakes we make as human that we think that we have limitations. I think it's illusion. We have no limitations, and we have to practice that, because our mind, our thoughts, can travel with the speed of light. You know, I posted on my page on Facebook the quote by Tagore, "The sight of our existence, whose direction is toward the infinite, seeks not wealth, but freedom and joy." It got amazing. It's like 120 people like that, you know, and I think this is the sign that all of us are awakening to our own truth, to honoring our own inner self.
Well, I think when you talk about, taking, you know, everything you just said, you know, you certainly are, I would say you lead by example, that's for sure. You're talking about something you know about, and you wouldn't tell us if you hadn't done it yourself. But let me ask you this. Do you feel that there is, because, you know, for many years people thought, you know, there seemed to be, I know probably in several countries, but I know in America, you were born into a certain class, and people were separated by class, the upper class, lower middle class, and you needed to stay with your kind or know your place or whatever. And now I think, you know, some of those delineations are fading away. People are making their own transitions into the groups and the places they want. They're not taking the old like their parents or grandparents heard, well, you can't do this, or you could never get into there. You know, they're taking it upon themselves to create their own lives and goals and challenges and meet them. And do you feel like that there's pretty much a shift going on as far as a consciousness or a spirituality and what people see as their life goals or their life's purpose?
Absolutely, because there is more people on the path to the highest than people who are living a lower vibration. And the shift that I mentioned that happened on 11-11-11, that for next 2,000 years, every soul, every human being is going to be affected by the shift that the planet Earth is going through, the Aquarian Age. And the 2,000 years before, it was exactly what you talk about. It's a hierarchy. It's the classes. It's the division between people. We are in a new age next 2,000 years, and this is going to about evolution of human. Evolution. Human evolution. It's about raising our consciousness and living our truth. They have to be so truthful. And in some countries, in India, still there is caste. And even if you make, let's say, you be, you become so wealthy and so successful, but if you're from lower caste, you're not accepted in the higher caste. It's still there because I talked to my my guru about that just 2 months ago. My great grandparents immigrated from Korea in November 1899, after a bad famine in Korea. And back then, the borders were open between China, Korea, and far east of Russia. And I did a lot of historical things. I did the whole research about that. And there is an amazing story. When I start working on this book, the Library of Congress supported me, the Asian Division, the Chief of Asian Division, Dr. Wei Lin, who is retired now, and he just inspired me to write the story. And he said, this is the people that you need to talk, top scholars on the subject of Korea Sarum, Korean people in Russia. And guess what? All these people I knew before in my life. So what I'm saying is, when you are meant to do the project or the client you're serving right now, it's going to be smooth. You're going both enjoy it, because it's when two parties meet for the highest goal, it's going to be a very successful subject. And this is the topic that I just talked to my business partner half an hour before our conversation with you. And that's how she and I, we operate. I said, it's not about this person that we are doing business, but I said, it's about the higher purpose. We have to serve the higher purpose. We have to make the shift from me for me to the higher purpose, and then enormous opportunities will open. You mentioned Hollywood story, and my business partner invited me to Hollywood Film Festival on Saturday, December 3rd, because her documentary film is, well, this is very confidential. It's not confidential anymore, but she's going to make public announcement next week. So I am invited to a very special event. Years ago, I would be surprised, but now I'm not surprised. I'm so grateful. And the more you show your feelings, the more you're going to awaken, the more, because the state of manifestation does not happen through our mind. It happens through our heart, through the heart vibration, through love.
When you talk about the state of manifestation, could you give me an example of that with you?
I manifest
all the time. Something
that you
didn't expect to happen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I manifest all the time. When I started, let me take back. I lived in San Francisco for 15 years, and after I finished my stockbroker job, I was invited to speak. Oh, I became Hall of Fame. I was inducted. I am inducted, actually, on Wall Street forever. And after that event, I was flown. The company flew me to meet with chairman of Bain Weber, Joe Grana, who is retired. And I spent 2 weeks in New Jersey. That's where the headquarters was. With trips to visit office on Wall Street. And why did I do that job? Because it was always my dream. And it was a dream. There is no explanation. You don't have to have a reason for every idea that comes to you. I just wanted to make sure that this is very important and work very well for me. I am mostly, I manifest because I do everything by my intuition and guts. This project might sound so well, and people say, do this because it makes money, you know, write these books on this topic, on how to, you make more money. No one wanted to touch the story of political refugee, blah, 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 blah. no one wants to read about the struggle. Well, that's too bad if people don't want to read about struggle, because the other side of the success is struggles. It cannot reach to the point even on spiritual path. It's a struggle every day, every path, but it's a beautiful struggle that turns you transcend that feeling into awareness. You transcend anything that is lower vibration into the higher vibration, and you have this ability. And when I realized that, it gives me such a boost. It's like, you know, I was drinking ginger tea. It just gives you energy because you have that ability to transform your thoughts and your feelings. So after my my trip to New York, I met PR people, publicists. And they said, we need someone to speak at Women's Conference in Washington, D.C. Can you? Yes, I can. But I realized I'm going to be in San Francisco. And one of the mistakes I make, I say yes immediately before I know how I get there. And this is the reason. And it served me very well. It might create some stress for me. But I never, people were laughing at me. I am the person who would fly to Houston to have a cup of coffee with a person for 1 hour. I always say yes. You know, my business partner invited me to Alabama. I said, okay, I'm coming. She's like, how are you coming? Where's your ticket? Where's your airline ticket? Where's your airline? I said, I'm driving because I'm bringing my whole equipment, camera and video cameras. I said, I'm going to be behind the scene. I wanted to shoot this event and to really be behind the camera. But anyway, so I end up at the event. And the setup was different. There were already professional people, and I didn't want to interfere with them. You just give them courtesy because I'm not hired staff. I'm not a hired photographer. So you have to have this sensibility around people constantly. And I said to my business partner, Edie, I said, I'm not going to shoot you because you have the whole professional company you hired. I said, I make additional noise. It's not good. She's like, I trust you. That's it. Okay. So 15 minutes later, someone says, Lana, can you come? We need to interview you. I said, for what? They said, for documentary film. I said, I'm not in a script. I said, I was not. I'm not part of this. I said, I'm just a friend. I'm behind the scene. And they said, well, Edie said that you should make comments. So I end up without any idea, and maybe it's not my best speech, but I said from my heart about my business partner and my friend and mentor for the documentary that is going to be released next week. So when we have no agenda, no agenda, people feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And things happen beyond your imagination.
I believe it. And so right there, we're going to pause for just a moment for everyone to think about that, because I've got a few lovely sponsors tonight to help me bring wonderful people like Svetlana Kim to you. And so I'm going to take just a moment to give a little shout out for the sponsors. First one, and this was a sponsor from last night, you may remember if you were listening. This is a guy in San Francisco who created an app, and he's got a Kickstarter for it, because he's raising money to put this into production. But here is what he says. He says, whether you're a sucker for clickbait, a social media junkie, or a tab hoarder, it's easier than ever to fall into a distraction trance. On average, we lose about 218 minutes a day to procrastination. That's a whopping 55 days a year. You need the right tools to win the war on procrastination, and that's why he's building KickMe. When you fall into a distraction trance, just say KickMe to take back control of your attention. And he says, this way you'll fight the war on your own procrastination and support. If you support KickMe's mission to interrupt those daily procrastination trances that will confront you with your meaningful tasks and goals. So what you do is I went to They've got a twitter.com/kickmeapp is where you can find them on Twitter. However, if you go to Kickstarter and look for Kick Me, they've got all kinds of fantastic little perks and gifts for you. If you donate anything from $2 on up, they are not picky. They are grateful for everything, and they have a little something special for everyone. But it works like it's a voice-activated app. So when you've got work to do, you're sitting in front of your computer, and you know you've got a deadline, and all of a sudden somebody puts up a kitten video on Facebook, and you're down that rabbit hole. All you have to do is go Kick Me, and it takes that away and puts you back to where you're supposed to be. Pretty good, I think. All right, and now we have two more, and we'll be right back with Svetlana Kip in just a moment.
My name is Chris, and I'm the director of a new feature film called Corkscrew. We have a Kickstarter campaign we need your help with. This story is based on true events, which makes it all the more intriguing. Following the death of his wife, Robert moves into an apartment complex to rebuild his life, but finds more is haunting him than just personal demons. If you love indie films, then you are a perfect fit to partner with us on Kickstarter. We have a ton of bonus gifts if you decide to contribute to our campaign. To visit our Kickstarter page, type in corkscrewmovie.com.
This world is in trouble, and national troubles and calamities are soon to come upon the United States and Britain, resulting in the unthinkable nuclear World War III. And you should know what is prophesied to happen in these last days. I urge you to read this book that explains it all. Just go to www.americaandbritainyouwerewarned.com. www.americaandbritainyouwerewarned.com. This book will open your eyes to God's true purpose and plan for mankind. That is www.americaandbritainyouwerewarned.com.
All right, this is Madam Perry, and we are back here in Madam Perry Salon with the fascinating Svetlana Kim. And if you would like to call in and talk to Svetlana or ask her a question, the number is 646-716-9922. All right, and we do have a caller. Hi, welcome to Madam Perry Salon.
Hello, Madam Perry Salon. How are you? And hello, Svetlana Kim. How are you doing?
Hello. Well, I'm wonderful because, you know, Madam Perry is so wonderful, and now you called in, so I wanted to thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome, and it's just such an honor to talk to you. I was just listening to your conversation and your wonderful chat that you were having, and you're just a fabulous woman.
I've got to introduce you. And this is, I've got to tell you, Svetlana, this is Kimberly Klefka. And she's the lady I told you about when we were chatting
yes.
before the show. She creates children's books in several languages with songs to go along with each one in several languages. Creates videos and so
incredible.
I love
children's books. The Velveteen Rabbit. In fact, I always wanted to write a children's book. I think, you know, Charlotte's Web. I love children's stories. I even tell my guru how much I love children's stories. This is Jennifer to answer your questions about manifestation. It's everything that our thoughts create. It's already there, but when we raise our vibration, energetic vibration, and it matches with the universe, that's when it happens in a physical form. Like, let's say I already knew that we met on subconscious level, and you, Jennifer, you are the instrument. So, and now we're three of us are talking. I don't know if it makes sense.
Yes, it does. Does it to you, Kimberly?
I think so. Very much so. I'm very much into all that. In fact, when I have to have a little bit of a chat to myself, instead of talking to my characters in my head, I go for a walk along the forest, and I am totally understanding of what you're talking about. Very much
in,
so.
In fact, today I received a message when I was doing meditation. I wanted to mention one book that you will enjoy. I keep this for my guru's granddaughter, but he said, oh, she's too young for this book. It's The Story of Little Babaji. This book was written in 1991. It's just incredible illustration, just a sweet, simple story of little boy. Anyway, so I received this message when I was meditating to share with the audience, with Jennifer, with your audience, about the creativity that it happens because manifestation, I believe, is a part of creativity. Our whole existence, it's so creative, it's creativity. We have to relax. Only in a state of relaxation, walking, taking shower, driving, there is scientific research that people get the best ideas doing things that you would think being lazy. So I encourage everyone to be lazy. I encourage everyone to slow down. And really, take a nap. Thomas Edison was taking cat naps, but he was working long days, 14 hours a day, and he would eat lunch at midnight, literally, and they called midnight lunch in his lab. But it is like walking, you get your best ideas. So I encourage people to make time, put yourself on a scheduled time, meeting with yourself, put it on calendar, and take it as seriously as you would treat the most important client or boyfriend or girlfriend or partner, husband. It's important because if we take care of ourselves, we appreciate every human, every bird, every animal, every cat, every surrounding, everything that is going on around us.
And I'm glad you brought that too, because I was going to ask if you meditate. I'm sure you do, but how often do you meditate?
I cannot live without meditation. It's so natural to me. I don't have schedule. I get the signal. My body, my mind wants to be in a state of meditation, and I go. I meditate every hour, every day, and it varies from 15 minutes to an hour, sometimes longer.
What about Kimberly? Do you meditate?
Not as much as I should. The only thing is I go for my walks. I suppose that's my way of meditating. But I would love to meditate more. I'm always like, I'm bouncing off the walls. I would love to chat with you, Svetlana, Kim, and you can tell me some really good pointers of how to meditate, because I would just love that.
I will be actually leading meditation courses with my guru from India to help us to live the vibration. So we, you know, that state of joy, Kimberly, that is so important, not only for our mind, but for our existence, for manifestation, for being healthy, for our mind. So I will let you know.
That would be wonderful, because I would really love that, because I think sometimes even when I go to bed and I sleep, my brain is still going, you know, and it would be really nice to, you know, relax. I start counting sheep sometimes. I'm like, okay, one sheep, two sheep, three sheep. Okay, is there any sleep happening? Four sheep,
well,
five sheep.
I think that is cute, because there is article that I posted. She was this is very world-renowned astronomer for African-American woman. She's 93 now. She was recognized by President Obama. And she grew up in a very modest surroundings. And she would count everything, steps to the church, steps to her bedroom. And it reminds me, you know, her when you said, I count sheep, one, two, three. But I want everyone to take a deep breath, just as deep as you can. And exhale, just let it go. And do that five times. Exhale and inhale. And exhale. And next two times, let's drop our shoulders down. And the last one, let's do a line roar. No one is watching us. We can make funny faces. We're going to stick the tongue out and to make noises like lions and let it go. All everything that was bothering us today, all the negative thoughts and small talks, let it go. So we're taking inhale and exhale out. Exactly. And do that in a car. It's such a good releasing things. You just do it 5 times. You tell me you don't have 5 seconds a day. And do that every 2-3 hours for people sitting in a desk, for people who have stressful jobs, caregivers, nurses. Just do it on your break. I do that all the time. Someone on a freeway, I'm not patient when people, you know, are driving too fast or something. So I do the line face, and they look at me like I'm crazy. I don't care because I create the space for higher energy.
Okay.
Anything that does not serve me, it's out of my body. It's like, you know, I downsized 5 years ago, ladies. I donated $40 to Salvation Army. I donated 500 books to the library. Even my CPA said, what's going on? Are you moving? I said, no, I'm not moving. But I said, I'm downsizing. I'm simplifying my life. I'm creating space for good energy.
Well, right here,
that's
we
great.
Are not downsizing in the studio because we are increasing. And this is one of the things I think I've told Kimberly before, and I've told you, Svetlana. I love to introduce the fascinating people I meet to each other, and that is why I love that you're both here. And also on the line, I've got somebody that's messaged in or texted in a question or in a comment for you, Svetlana. And I've also got on the line someone dear to me, my best friend. She's always say she's the Oprah to my Gail or Gail to my Oprah or whatever. But you know her, Kimberly. This is
Kimberly. Hi, guys.
Hi.
I am loving the show. I am so loving the show because I started meditating and I started using Headspace. It's an app, Headspace. I absolutely need this every day. Every day I do this. And it's just for, 10 minutes. 10 minutes a day. And it is wonderful. So, yes. I'm all with you on that one.
Absolutely. And, you know, when I started meditating, I couldn't even see the first time it was 3 minutes. And back then, I was driven by goals and numbers and competitiveness. I told Jennifer, I said, I'm so tough, but I just actually mindful, I remind myself, we don't want to be tough. We wanted to be resilient, but we wanted to be ourselves. And, you know, there are days when we're like, oh, it didn't work out, it sucks. And the days is like, oh, my gosh, I did it so well. I'm so proud of myself. And then days like, okay, so what's next, the universe? What do you want me to do?
Oh, I'm so with you right there. I'm all about that energy, the positive energy, and shining that negative energy that finds its way, and you just have to fight it, like with a floor at the door, like, yeah, get out of here.
Oh,
yeah.
Actually,
Kenya and I have been friends for many, many years, and I have to say that she has a show on Friday nights called Everything Relationships. Kenya and I are the perfect example of opposites attract in friendship because she's always positive and encouraging and looking forward and things can happen and we can do this. And I'm just like, I'm just a crabby old bat going, oh, Kenya,
that's
come
not
on.
True.
Yeah.
That is so not true.
Not true. I agree with Kenya and Kimberly. That is not true.
No, I really, but you're wonderful, Jennifer. Oh, my gosh, you're amazing. Please.
But you know what? It's very important. It's actually, we're all laughing, but, you know, I met so many people who don't have friends like that. And that is such a blessing. And I think we should talk about that because so much negativity in the world from, you know, national TV to stories that you hear. And that's why this Aquarian age, the universe, is opening so many doors for people like Jennifer and Kimberly and you, Kenya, because 20 years ago, this podcast would not be possible. You know, so many people are sharing ideas and talking about meditation. I actually interviewed an amazing person who said this. In 1975, when he started working on his New Age music, his name is Stephen Halpern, and his website is stephenhalpern.com. He said, do you know that people would talk to me and say, you cannot talk about meditation? I remember my mentor studying meditation, transcendental meditation, 1975. She had to do confidentially because she was a high-profile psychiatrist in Washington, D.C. So today, more people meditate in America than in India.
Wow. Really?
Jennifer? Oh, go ahead. It wasn't long ago that yoga had the same stigma.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, and look at today. It's almost like some yoga teachers, they have almost status of celebrities.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I've got a friend of mine, David Hurley, and Kenya, you know who he is, but Kimberly and Svetlana. David Hurley, he's a poet and an author. One of his books, his poetry book, Abyssinia Jill Rush. He also had another book that's a mixture of poetry and prose called Sharon Tate and the Daughters of Joy. And he is the creator, publisher of Subtlety Magazine. It's spelled like S-U-B-T-L-E, and then T-E-A, Subtlety Magazine. And I adore David, and he just sent in a question or a comment for you. He says, tell Svetlana that she is a remarkable woman and thinker, and I plan on reading her White Pearl and the book about Alan Joe and Bruce Lee that she co-wrote. And then he asked, in her impressive resume, I noticed a USA Martial Arts Hall of Fame Award. Was that for the Bruce Lee book, or is it for personal martial art involvement?
For personal martial art. Thank you, David. Good question. Personal. I admired Bruce Lee since I was 17 because when I went to college, my best college friend, Daria, was into martial art, and Bruce Lee, back then in Russia, Bruce Lee books, they were not officially published. It was an underground market for books. Even Dr. Zhivago, you could go to the prison for reading Dr. Zhivago books, so it was underground. And I've been practicing yoga for 22 years, and I became yoga teacher. I graduated from Piedmont Yoga School last year that was founded by Rodney Yee and Richard Rosen and martial arts. So to me, that is very, very important, the connection of mind, body, and spirit. The day I finished, So my mentor invited me to event, a dinner, about an hour from here. And as I mentioned in the beginning, I never say no to opportunities. I said yes. And I start working around my schedule. I make to this event. And he said, can you come to dinner? Can you give a ride to my daughter from LA? And I said, I would love and I really appreciate it. But I said, I'm not invited to dinner by the owner, and I don't want to impose because I know this event. I used to put events as a PR agent in Washington, D.C., and I know the cost of these private dinners. And I said, I don't want to add extra, you know, I'll pay for my dinner. But he said, well, let's figure out. So the minute he left, the owner of this event, the founder of this event, comes to me and he said, I hope you and your husband are coming to VIP dinner. And I said, well, Master Jun Ri invited me, but I said, I don't want to impose, and my husband offered to pay. And he said, no, you'll be my guest, come. So we went to the dinner, And I'm sitting next to a person, a gentleman, very nice gentleman, and I met his wife. And he is telling the story about Bruce Lee. And I would finish. He would start the sentence, I would finish. And I said, I know I'm rude, but I said, I just love Bruce Lee. He took my hand and he said, sit next to me at the table. We start talking. He start feeding me. And I said, what's your name? And he said, Alan Joe. I said, wait a minute. Is that Alan Joe that I read in all Bruce Lee's books? He's quiet. And I said, I read every single book on the market about Bruce Lee. I love him. But I thought Alan Joe is Caucasian and you are Chinese. He starts laughing. Dinner is over. Everyone is talking. And he said, this is my phone number. Can you and your husband come for tea to my house? I said, yes. It happened to be Bruce Lee's personal closest friend. And when we start talking, and he said, you know, I always had, he's 93. Alan said to me, Uncle Alan, I had one dream. I always wanted to write a book, but I'm not a writer. And I said, can you write a book just about friendship? He looked at me, he pushed me in the shoulder, and he said, you can do it. I feel it. You can do it. We did it.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Wow.
That's great story. Fantastic.
So the minute we finish, the minute I finish the book and we send the manuscript to the publisher, I got another offer for next two books.
Wow.
Oh, that's great. Oh.
Yeah, he's an amazing person who wrote 21 books. Incredible human being who sacrificed so much to raise three boys. She lost all of them. They had short lives. But she said, I wrote her quote today. She wrote to me, just very, very inspiring. She wrote to me that her grandmother, Alice, gave her one advice. Be real. She gave her a book, Velveteen Rabbit. And Velveteen Rabbit, the rabbit, stuffed rabbit, always wanted to be real. And she said, I was privileged to learn a lot of things from my grandma Alice, not only for boys, but for myself. And she talks about how we can turn the painful heart moments into our lives, into inspirational. Her name is Edie Hand, and she is dedicating and kept her promise to her brothers to make this documentary film based on her novella, The Last Christmas Rite. Growing up in Alabama, before Christmas, they would ride horses in the Indian mountains, and when Terry, her brother, was dying from brain tumor, he asked her, Edie, can you take me on the last Christmas ride?
That just really gets you. Oh, how beautiful.
I also wanted to remind everyone who is listening, and I'm so aware that we have a few minutes left, don't worry about anything. Just every day, even it's organizing your clips or cleaning your restrooms, doesn't matter. Every day, just to be aware, and you know that you're one step closer to your goal, and never stop. Because for 9 years, I wrote because I love doing that. I told stories, even sometimes for a loaf of bread. This woman had no money for my speech to my event, but she brought me a loaf of bread. And I start crying because my story starts with a loaf of bread that didn't exist at the bakery in Russia in 1991, before the collapse of Soviet Union. And 9 years later, as I told my husband in the car crying, there was no guarantee, but I did it because I loved it. And 9 years later, I landed a literary agent who represented memoir of Michael Jackson. I don't know why I say Michael Jordan. She doesn't mind Michael Jackson. So this is really, truly, it's not about us or our stories. It's about all of us. And coming together, we're going to elevate. And our presence here, it's really a tremendous gift. I read one Buddhist story, a monk in Korea, and he said, being this human body right now on earth, the chances are so small. Just imagine, close your eyes and imagine a needle dropped from the heaven, and it's that needle is going to hit the tiny black master seat on earth. That's your chances to be alive today.
Mm.
That alone is the biggest gift from God.
It's amazing. Amazing. And I have to say something else. I've also got another comment from David Hurley for you. You know, going back to the story of Bruce Lee, when you were talking about it, he would start a sentence, Alan Joe, and you would finish it and say, can you imagine how he felt? Can you imagine how he felt that he just meets you? And, of course, like you said, if you didn't accept every invitation you had, if you didn't say yes to everything, you wouldn't have been in that situation where you were meant to be. And he probably was just thinking, I can't believe this. She's finishing my sentence. She knows. She really doesn't know this. I mean, he's got to have gone home and told people, you won't believe this woman I met tonight. And I think that's fantastic. But David said, he said, wow, how awesome. Bruce Lee is a deep inspiration and mentor, and he's good for you. And I have to say, too, and thank you again, David. I have to say also, you know, people can talk about good and bad aspects of social media and so forth in this high cyber information age. And I understand there are different sides, and it has to do with, you know, how it's used. But I've got to say, there was a Wall Street Journal article about how people can use social media to advance their products or their job or whatever, or meet other people, and that when it comes to publicizing things for authors, musicians, filmmakers, it takes the power out of what used to be the big head guys that had all the power and puts it into the rank and file, and that's good. But I'll go even further to say, if it wasn't for social media, I wouldn't have met Kimberly, and I wouldn't have met you, Svetlana. And you think about how many people around the world that we've come in touch with that, that's just fantastic.
And Sherry Mix, absolutely. David, I wanted to thank you so much for good questions. Alan Joe is very healthy. He exercises every day. He's 93, and I met with Bruce Lee's widow, Linda Lee Codwell, and book is endorsed by Shannon Lee, Bruce Lee's daughter, and endorsed by great-grandniece of Thomas Edison. Please leave your comments for Alan Joe. He's the sweetest man possible. He still cannot believe every time he talks about the book. We have audio book on Audible. And Alan said this because in the beginning, when we start working, I mean, so many people are involved, and he remembers one story, his wife Annie remembers this way. You have to be patient and you have to listen because it's their story. But again, the focus is really for the highest good, is to bring this importance of the friendship, because we all need that. We all need to hear that, this basic human values, families and friends. Alan Joe said to me, and it was the biggest compliment ever, he said, I never doubt you. I never had doubt.
That was
the biggest compliment. Literally, we were two strangers.
And that's an electric moment. You know, it's like quiet electricity, but you feel it. And I am just, I'm going to be thinking about that later on tonight, too. So I have to say, I'm so grateful to you, Svetlana Kim, for sharing. You're such a busy, busy woman, but yet you've shared this time with me. And the same thing, too, with my friend Kenya Colbert and Kimberly Kleska. I'm just grateful to all of you for spending time with me, for David Hurley for his questions, And for everyone else out there who has been messaging me that they were listening, and just so grateful to you here, please, you know, this show is also available as a free download on iTunes, Stitcher. Afterwards, I've got to say, give my shout-outs to everybody, because I know I've got to let you all go continue to do the fabulous things that you're doing. But I remember Kenya Colbert. She has a show called Everything Relationships on Friday night on Blog Talk Radio. Kimberly Klexka, Kimberly.
Kimberly
was a guest on Kenya's children's show.
I love Kimberly.
Kimberly, I've got your newest book right here in my hand. Dobby is so polite. What a delight, about a dog named Dobby. And it's in my head, and I love it. Thank you so much. So look up Kimberly and Svetlana Kim. Folks, go to her website. It's SvetlanaKim.com. Hey, you can sit and look at the slideshow of pictures of her with Dennis Quaid, Chelsea Clinton, Jack Welch,
what a great
Cokie
interview.
Roberts,
wow.
Gloria Steinem. Those are just some of the pictures. The picture of her standing in front of Wall Street with a big sign going at the stock market with the "Welcome, Svetlana Kim." It's very exciting, Svetlana. And so get her books, White Pearl and I, book about Bruce Lee. Just go to her website and get everything, like David Hurley just said he's going to do. Svetlana, what is the final?
You know, for all your friends who called in, you'll get a copy of my book. Just send your email and address to Jennifer and give me about 3 weeks.
Thank you
wow.
so much. That's
yeah,
so kind.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Such a great pleasure. And Jennifer, thank you so much for what you're doing and all of us. And I wanted to mention Stephen Halpern's CD, which I do every day. It's a Theta meditation, THTA, and it really increases our brain waves. And I study brain. And my friend is asking me to write an article about different types of waves and how we can increase and how it helps with productivity, analytical skills and everything. I'll probably do one day. I don't know when, because I'm working on the next amazing project. And this whole book is that women turn their pain, losses into most inspirational things that they're not doing for themselves but doing for humanity. Amazing things we're working on. And I just wanted to thank you so much for all of you, for your energy. And just remember that universe is always on time. Universe never makes mistakes. I believe in MPR, meaning, purpose, and reason. Every person, every stranger, every encounter, every setback, every glory, every pain, every success, happiness, joy has its own meaning, purpose, and reason. And wishing you all the best that life can offer.
That sounds like the best part of information.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Please come back again, Svetlana. And, of course, Kimberly and Kenya will always be here, I hope. And Svetlana Kim, here on Madam Perry Salon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.